This is a Shift Podcast Network production.
Welcome to Here and Back Again. I'm David O'Callaghan, and this is a podcast looking at all things releasing weekly on streaming and in cinemas, with a bit of pop culture bits thrown in. Well now, what have we here? Another week of quality content dropping. What's going on? It's all over the gaff. It's no filler. It's all killer. Well, I'm not going to lie. There's some filler. So, shall we begin?
This sacred institution wields power beyond your imagination. Winston, your brother stole something from me. What you took is very important to a lot of very dangerous people. Find him, because if you don't, I'll bring the weight of this whole institution down on you both. Sharon, show our guests the door.
The Continental from the world of John Wick is a new three-part series on Prime Video, which is a 1970s spin-off from the John Wick film series, chronicling the origins of the New York Hotel. Yes, the Continental. That gaff that serves as a home away from home for international assassins. Oh my lord. Colin Woodall stars as a younger version of hotel manager Winston Scott, who was played by Ian McShane in the films, along with Mel Gibson. The series will follow Winston as he makes his way to the top of the high table. Two of the three episodes here are directed by Albert Hughes, who I will always appreciate as the dude who directed the fab Menace to Society. I was obsessed with that movie, and Dead Presidents in the 90s. Episodes stream weekly on Fridays. And yes, just bring on the insane action and madness. Love it. Love it. This is the first in the Wikiverse expansion, I suppose you'd call it, with Ballerina, the movie offshoot, also coming early next year. So that is The Continental from the world of John Wick, now on Prime Video. First episode is up. Dialogue in the trailer. Just give me creepy noises and jumpy scares. No One Will Save You on Disney Plus follows Bryn Adams, played by the wonderful Caitlin Dever, a young woman who finds solace in her childhood home but is soon terrorized by weird beings who are intent on killing her. Uh-oh. This is basically a twist on the home invasion genre, the twist being there's a bit of sci-fi going on. Yes, shoot this bad boy into my veins. Oh my god, I'm all in. As I said, Caitlin Dever, who you'll know from Booksmart and Dopesick and Unbelievable, is here to carry this one all by herself, and I'm excited to see how she copes with the extraterrestrial madness of this one. E.T. has dialed home a gaff invasion, and let's see if she survives. Halloween is coming, Halloween is coming. Yes, it comes earlier and earlier every year, and why not embrace a horror early on? And this one looks quite entertaining. So, as I said, I'm all in. So that is No One Will Save You, now on Disney Plus.
Alex called me. She said, can you run over this way a minute? I said, man, what for? He said, things just got all f***ed up. Just like that.
Paul's brain has been blown out of his body. Maggie has been shot multiple times.
It opened up a whole Pandora's box of questions.
Folks are going to have their own opinion. Mine is not an opinion. I lived it. I was there.
One of this year's biggest true crime hits for Netflix was The Murdoch Murders, A Southern Scandal. The Murdochs were a prominent family in South Carolina until a fateful boating accident begins the unravelling of their legacy. Maggie Murdoch and son Paul are later found murdered, bringing to light a century of corruption, power and cover-ups. The first season ended with the father and husband, Alex Murdoch, being charged with double homicide and a trial date being set. Well, here we go, folks. Season 2 of The Murdoch Murders, A Southern Scandal, has landed, and it features first-hand accounts from those who were there the days leading up to and following the murders of Maggie and Paul, including former Murdoch family housekeeper Bianca Terabyte Simpson and matriarch Libby Murdoch's former caretaker Michelle Shelley Smith, both of whom were crucial witnesses at the trial. This 3-episode second season streams from today, and you know, we're all in. True crime nuts that some of us are. That's Murdoch Murders, A Southern Scandal, Season 2, which is now on Netflix.
How do you make it look so easy?
Well, the real question is, why do men make it look so hard?
An iconic editor needs an iconic publisher.
Can I speak with you for a sec?
We're 50-50 partners, and I'm telling you, it's going to be different this time.
Actually, 51-49.
It feels great to be back.
Follow me to the pool.
We have snacks and poppers in the lounge.
Who are those people and why do they keep taking our picture?
That's Rolling Stone. You really need to read my memos, Bambi.
Oh, I don't read memos on principle, but fun.
Minx returns for its second and sadly final season on Paramount Plus. Sad times, sad, sad times. Set in 1970s Los Angeles, Joyce, played by Ophelia Lovibond, continues to work with low-rent publisher Doug, played by Jake Johnson, to make the first erotic feminist magazine for women. The show was saved despite being cancelled by HBO after season one and having been already filmed. Season two was already filmed and they said, no, fuck off. But sadly, all roads now officially end here. This season centres on Joyce and Doug as they try to grapple with the success of their new magazine and also keeping their egos in check. I love, love, love this show so much. It is so much fun, has so much heart, and yes, a lot of male nudity, as one would expect. I cannot recommend it enough. Both seasons are now on Paramount Plus. Please, please bail in and have a look, because it's fantastic, but make sure the kids are in bed. As for HBO, what is their problem with retro shows set in Los Angeles? But more on that later in Three Things.
Cindy, Linda, Christy and Naomi are still redefining what it means to be a model.
There was a feeling about them that they wanted more.
I was not seen as a person who had a voice in her own destiny.
He said you should lose 5 pounds. I got scared I didn't belong.
But Linda's a chameleon.
She could really become whatever the photographer wanted her to become.
I would do all these great shows, wear all these beautiful dresses, but then it would come time to the advertising and I would not be included.
I wasn't going to be bullied for the color of my skin.
The Supermodels on Apple TV Plus is a new documentary where viewers will be taken behind the scenes on the lives and careers of Naomi Campbell, Cindy Crawford, Linda Evangelista and Christy Turlington, and will explore the strength of the bond that evolved between these iconic models who went on to dominate the fashion industry. Apple TV are all in on this. There's so much hype, so much advertising. Why wouldn't you? Because the Supermodels, all 4 episodes are up there for you now to binge on Apple TV Plus.
Hi everyone, I'm Otis Milburn. I'm new here, I'm with the whole Mordell Secondary team.
Yeah.
Thank you. I just wanted to let you know a little bit about myself. I spend a lot of my free time thinking about sex. I live and breathe sex. All day. Every day.
Work it out.
Thinking about sex comes very naturally. Because I learned everything I know about sex from my mum.
Sex Education returns to Netflix for its 4th and final season. This is the story of socially awkward high school student Otis, played by Asa Butterfield, who may not have much experience in the lovemaking department, but he gets good guidance on the topic in his personal sex ed course, Living with Mum Jean, played by Gillian Anderson, who is, yes, a sex therapist. Being surrounded by manuals, videos, and tediously open conversations about sex, Otis has become a reluctant expert on the subject over the numerous seasons of this hugely popular show. Massive. I mean, people are losing their minds getting excited for this. I never really got into it. I was more of a Euphoria kid, even though they're totally opposites. Are they? Anyway, so here we go. One last sex charge hurrah. Sex Education, Season 4. The final season is now all up on Netflix.
I just want to be loved unconditionally.
I'm always going to think about you for the rest of my life.
Women are getting territorial.
When you love somebody, you don't just leave without telling them anything.
Welcome to Love is Blind.
What's up, what's up?
I could be finding my wife here.
When are you going to propose to me?
My heart's pounding, but it's not in a bad way.
Did you just burp?
I did. Was that a good one? Was that a good one?
My biggest insecurity? I got a bald-ass head.
My past sounds like 8,000 walking red flags.
Yes, yes, yes. Right now, I'm very aware that some of you are rocking back and forth with excitement. Drooling with excitement as Love is Blind Season 5 drops its first 4 episodes. As you know, in this one, singles try to find a match and fall in love without ever seeing each other face to face, as emotional connection attempts to conquer physical attraction. High drama guaranteed and producing many, many water cooler moments. You know who you are. Open that bottle of rosé and get yourself ready for this insane, emotional roller coaster ride of a reality TV series. That's Love is Blind, Season 5, Sweet Jesus Lord, now on Netflix.
Something is happening.
It's all over the world.
It's like somebody combined a virus with
the Armageddon Code.
What are these things?
They're bad guys from our video game.
Get out of here, kids. Go.
Wait a second. I think Mom and Dad are spies.
You think?
We have to find Mom and Dad now.
Hey, kiddos. If you're here now by yourselves, that means something has gone wrong. We couldn't wait to show you the safe house. There's food and spy training modules.
In Spy Kids Armageddon on Netflix, when the children of the world's greatest secret agents unwittingly help a powerful game developer unleash a computer virus that gives him control of all technology, they must become spies themselves to save their parents and the world. Zachary Levi and Gina Rodriguez play the parents, while Billy Magnussen plays the villain of the piece. Robert Rodriguez yet again directs a story written by himself and his much older Spy Kids son, Racer. If you remember, the original movies from 20 years ago were created by Rodriguez for his kids to watch. And as for Robert, Robert just went down a hole and never came out of it. Absolute nonsense. Possibly, not even possibly, definitely pure muck. But also most definitely a perfect babysitter for any action-loving gamer tweens or smallies out there. With the ropiest CGI you'll see since a recent Marvel show, Spy Kids Armageddon, is now on Netflix.
30 years, a detective. Every cop gets one they just can't shake. This is mine.
You got 16 dead. Somebody lost control.
He didn't lose control.
Retirement. You hate it, don't you?
It's an adjustment.
You need to find some sort of purpose.
Greetings, detective.
You know who I am and what I did.
Previously on Mr. Mercedes. Yes, it brings me great joy to see that Disney Plus has dropped all 3 seasons of Stephen King's Mr. Mercedes series, starring Brendan Gleeson and his wonderfully thick Dublin accent. Mr. Mercedes was a series of books featuring Bill Hodges, Gleason's character name, that King wrote about Detective Bill, who was unable to catch the serial killer who took the lives of 16 victims. However, things change after the culprit calls him and challenges him to solve the case before he retires. This fantastic show, which was created by David E. Kelly, is now a perfect binge material. It used to be on RTE and then they kind of, I don't know, they went and buried it. I absolutely loved it. Gleason's gruff detective is pretty class. And what's not to love? All three seasons, based on all three books, is now up for you there on Disney Plus. That's Mr. Mercedes. Also up there, and you know me and how much I love my heist movies or series. Well, Paramount Plus are all in on some heist action this week. For those of you who missed it on BBC earlier this year, or was it last year? It's all a blur. Anyway, The Gold is a British drama series written by Neil Forsythe, starring Hugh Bonneville, Dominic Cooper, Charlotte Spencer, Sean Harris, Jack Loudon and Tom Cullen. The series covers the 1983 Brinks Mat robbery, in which 26 million, which is equivalent to 93 million or so now, sterling, worth of gold bullion, diamonds and cash was stolen from a warehouse near Heathrow Airport, and the widespread events that followed over the following decade. This was an absolute cracker of a series and unfolds brilliantly over its 6 episodes as we follow both the gang members and the detectives chasing them over the number of years. Fab stuff. Again, I cannot recommend it enough. That is The Gold, which is now on Paramount Plus. And also on Paramount Plus we have The Hatton Garden Job. This one is about 4 elderly, shall we say, gentlemen who burgled almost 200 million from the Hatton Garden Safe Deposit Company in London. Proper diamond geezers all over the ass. Yes, weirdly, it's a movie from 2017, but did a classic, fell down between the cracks and got lost release-wise. Until now, when Paramount Plus have dug it out of retirement, like those elderly gentlemen, and it's now there on their streaming platform. Starring Matthew Good, Larry Lamb and Phil Daniels. I watched it last night, I'm not going to lie. It's, yeah, it does the job, as I said. I have a soft spot for heist movies, so... And I do love a bit of diamond geezer action. So that's The Hatton Garden Job now on Paramount Plus.
Danny, why are you crawling around in the dark?
Were you actually asleep?
Of course not. I was trying to save on light bulbs.
Haven't slept for about 2 months. Chronic insomnia.
Hypnotism, acupuncture, none of it works.
You still up?
How was your day?
I saw this ad for some new pills called Snoozers.
No, they don't knock you out. They just make everything taste like cabbage.
Apart from cabbage.
Right. Oh, it's a little dog.
Little?
I could put a saddle on it and ride it into town.
In Still Up on Apple TV Plus, bonded by insomnia, best friends Lisa and Danny stay connected to each other late into the night and find their way to a world of wonderfully weird surprises as their relationship deepens. Craig Roberts and Antonia Thomas play our insomniacs in this extremely cute-looking British rom-com series from Steve Burge and Natalie Walter. The first 3 of 8 episodes stream from today. That's Still Up now on Apple TV+. If you're looking for a bit of anime action out there this week, well, Kengan Ashura Season 2 finally lands on Netflix after a 2.5-year hiatus. It was a smash hit for Netflix in its debut season. This one is set in a world where the rich and powerful hire and engage fighters in ruthless winner-takes-all battles to settle disputes between corporate institutions in large gladiatorial arenas. This uber-violent, insanely over-the-top series, based on the manga of the same name, came out of nowhere and won many new fans, as I said, for Netflix. Now that the wait is over, let the boardroom revolts begin. That's Kengan Ashura, Season 2, now on Netflix. And finally, in streaming this week, in the non-English section, there are some pretty big releases worth keeping an eye on. And first up, we have Cassandro on Prime Video. This is a new biopic about Saul Armendariz, played by Gael Garcia Bernal, who was known to fans of his powerful and flamboyant professional wrestling as Cassandro. This gay icon was also known to wrestling fans as the Liberace of Lucha Libre. It arrives with some strong buzz from this year's Sundance Film Festival and looks quite a fun and emotional journey. After last week's amazing wrestler series, people, you have to watch that. You have to, I demand it. I'm all in for this. More quality wrestling action. So that is Cassandra on Prime Video. Coming from South Korea, we have a new series called Song of the Bandit on Netflix. This one is set in the 1920s, where lawless bandits in the rebellious Gando region of South Korea do everything they can to protect their land and their loved ones. They fight the Japanese colonial army, even if it means losing their lives. A violent, insane, but quite human story, this Korean Western looks like an absolute binge waiting to happen from where I'm sitting. That's Song of the Bandits, which is now on Netflix. Class Act on Netflix tells the story of a relentlessly ambitious working class man as he becomes one of France's most controversial public figures in this fictionalized biopic about Bernard Tapie. Receiving impressive reviews everywhere, all 7 episodes of Class Act are now up on Netflix. And finally this week on Netflix we have Jain Jaan, translated as Beloved. This one is an Indian Hindu language mystery thriller film written and directed by Sugoi Ghosh. The film is an adaptation of the 2005 Japanese novel The Devotion of Suspect X. It stars Kareena Kapoor Khan as a single mother involved in a murder and lands this week again with a massive amount of buzz. So that's Jain Jaan, which is now on Netflix, and that is your non-English section, which is pretty impressive, and that is all your streaming. So there's a lot there, folks. There is a lot there to sit back, relax, and see. No. Wait there. Hold everything. Just when I think I'm out, they drag me back in with more content. It's dropping like billio this week, because first up, we have another sports doc. The Saint of Second Chances has suddenly appeared out of nowhere on Netflix. Wasn't even on schedule. Mike Veeck, son of legendary Major League Baseball owner Bill Veeck, blows up his father's career and then spends the next few decades learning the value of a second chance. Exiled from the game of baseball that he loved, the younger Veeck spent the next few decades clawing his way back from rock bottom, determined to redeem himself. Why should we be excited by this? Apart from the fact it's a baseball sports doc, because, you know, we all love a sports doc. It's directed by Academy Award winner Morgan Neville, who did 20 Feet from Stardom, which is so good, and Jeff Malmberg, and is narrated by Jeff Daniels. Hello! So The Saint of Second Chances is a comeback story that looks like it's another perfect distraction for, as I said, fans of sports ball docs everywhere, and is now on Netflix. Also this week, as I mentioned earlier, Halloween is definitely a coming, and as living proof of this, literally out of nowhere again, didn't even know it was dropping today, Lee Cronin's Evil Dead Rise has just landed on Netflix. What? Oh my god, absolutely wonderful, absolutely freaky. This is such a movie. So obviously we're all planning our October horror viewing marathons, and this has to be in there, because as you may remember from my review of the cinema release, this is quite insane. It's a rip-roaring freak attack of a horror movie, and will definitely have you like losing your mind from start to finish. It's a quite lovely 96 minutes long. No time for messing, just hell shall be unleashed immediately. So yeah, Evil Dead Rise, it's sitting there for your Friday night calming viewing purposes. Oh dear god, love it. Evil Dead Rise, Netflix. And finally, and kind of slightly speaking from the future to past me from the earlier shout out, I got a last minute early screener from Disney Plus of No One Will Save You late last night, and so obviously in the name of the pod I stayed up late and watched it immediately. And what am I going to say? Well, all my fears are gone. It was an absolute treat of a movie. It's, first of all, it's absolutely bonkers. It's like Close Encounters of the Third Home Invasion. It's what is going, it's unbelievable. It's again a perfect 90 minutes long. There is absolutely not a piece of dialogue in the whole movie. Loads of screaming though, and I loved it. More the jump scare than pure horror. And yes, Caitlin Dever carries the movie solo wonderfully. But be prepared, as I said, this one is absolutely bonkers. So that's No One Will Save You, out now on Disney Plus. Definitely this time, that's your streaming, I think. But just in case you were wondering if cinema had gone quiet, hell no. They're dropping all sorts this week. So let's look at cinema.
Yo, what up, everybody? Roaring Kitty here. I'm going to pick a stock and talk about why I think it's interesting. And that stock is GameStop.
I love this guy.
Retail traders, I'm hooked into GameStop.
I think they think it's a good investment. It looks like there's one guy driving all the buying.
Who is this schmuck?
Dumb money, man.
Happy to take it.
Wall Street is betting that this company is going to fail. And if it fails, these hedge fund assholes make a shit ton of money. 70,000 people have watched this video.
Roaring Kitty, I love you!
If he's in, I'm in.
If he's in, I'm in.
Dumb Money chronicles the 2021 GameStop short squeeze when a ragtag group of amateur traders took on Wall Street and the hedge funds, whom obviously we all became aware of after watching The Big Short. We're all experts now. And is based on the book The Anti-Social Network by Ben Mezrich. This is an absolute joy of a movie. And it's all about sticking it to the man. With a stellar cast featuring Paul Dano, America Ferreira, Pete Davidson, Seth Rogen, Shailene Woodley and Anthony Ramos. It is also directed by Craig Gillespie, who gave us I, Tonya. Recently, big business, big pharma, brand biopics have all become very popular in Hollywood. Things like Air, Tetris, WeWork, The Dropout, the upcoming BlackBerry, which is awesome. Beanie Babies, Dope Sick, it's all there. And you can probably blame Adam McKay's The Big Short for part of that because it was such a huge hit and people loved it. But where The Big Short was a cold, analytical movie with characters who were mostly not villains, but they weren't exactly likable or easily warmed to, the difference with Dumb Money is that the group of amateur traders here are given decent backstories, they're given more screen time, and they bring a bit of humanity to the movie and the topic at hand. Of course, it's a factionalized version of reality, but I appreciated having to root for the people against the machine of Wall Street. What I'm saying here is, if you love The Big Short, well, this is The Big Short 2, Revenge of the Nerds. It's absolutely class and has a fantastic soundtrack too. Loved it.
Loved it.
And in a piece of pub quiz trivia, the movie production company who got this movie turned around so quickly, when you think about it, was Winklevoss Pictures. Why does that name ring a bell? Yes, it's a new movie company set up by the Winklevoss twins, played by Arnie Hammer in The Social Network, to release their first movie, which is an adaptation of the Anti-Social Network book. I know, this is the insider info you come to this podcast for. Anyway, Dumb Money is absolute box office, highly recommended, and it's in cinemas now. Speaking of dumb...
Why are you here?
I got this situation where I need your help.
I need bad friends.
Was that the new guy?
Is that Sniper?
Don't worry about it. I got a prescription scope.
Well, Hawkeyes, remember this face. Don't shoot it by accident.
Terrorists have taken possession of nuclear missiles on a cargo ship off the coast. If these babies go off, it'll be World War III.
Yes, yes, yes. From Dumb Money to Dumb Movie. Oh, they're back, baby. They are back. Expendables 4 or Expendables or Expendables, whatever the hell it is. It brings back those 80s action icons, Stallone and Lundgren, along with Statham and Andy Garcia. And some new faces like 50 Cent, Megan Fox, Tony Yeah, and Iko Uwais. Story-wise, because you need to know the story. Armed with every weapon they can get their hands on, the Expendables are the world's last line of defense, and the team gets called when all other options are off the table. Blah, 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 blah. Yes, basically what we have here is a time warp. A doorway back to the dodgy VHS white van man and his weekly action specials, which incorporated dodgy acting, ridiculous plot lines, ropey, dopey special effects, and everything blowing up. And I know you're also wondering, who would go to see it? Well, have you met me? I'll be at the first screening available on Friday. And then I get to complain about it for the whole weekend. Fantastic stuff. So that is The Expendables 4, or Expendables, now in cinemas.
Average writers attempt originality, but the greats, great writers, steal.
But your personal life seeps into your work.
If you're asking whether my son's death has inspired my writing, the answer is no. I will not be writing about his death. I will be writing in spite of it.
Good morning. You must be Bertie.
So you're my tutor?
Your father. He's the most revered writer in the country.
My husband, the subject of your thesis. You're not here for him. So don't talk about his work. Don't talk about Felix. Follow those rules and you should be fine.
The Lesson is a new British thriller starring Richard E. Grant, Julie Delpy and Daryl McCormick. Liam, played by McCormick, is an aspiring and ambitious young writer who eagerly accepts a tutoring position at the family estate of his idols, renowned author J.M. Sinclair, played by Grant. But soon, Liam realises that he is ensnared in a web of family secrets, resentments and retribution. Due to my background in books, I weirdly have a soft spot for movies and TV shows set in the literary world. And you know what? This is pretty decent stuff. The cast are great, and while it won't blow your mind, I did find myself invested throughout. Delpy and Grant are great, and McCormick holds his own. The question is whether or not it's a cinematic experience, or is it an at-home watch? Probably depends on your own cinema-going habits. If you like your little wee indie movies in the cinema, it'll tick the box. Either way, if you're looking for something chill and low-key, The Lesson is now in cinemas. But do catch it at some point.
That prof looks funny.
Well, so do you.
Actually, not more of a fella's job.
Would you not think of doing something easier? I mean, like a wee cleaning job.
Ellie, you are an actual adult, but your brain is minuscule.
If a customer asks for a flat white, that's just a latte with two shots. But if a customer asks for a flat white with one shot, just be like, I would ever and give him a latte.
I don't know how much longer I can have being here.
Oh, well, let us know when you're away back to your new apartment with a south-facing sunroom.
Bally Walter is a bittersweet comedy drama set in Northern Ireland, observing the growing friendship between university dropout and extremely grumpy, very grumpy taxi driver Eileen, played by Shauna Kerslake, and divorcee Shane, played here by none other than Late Late Show newbie Patrick Keelty, making his acting debut. Keelty is quite good, but it is Shauna Kerslake who steals the show absolutely. She's got a very prickly and awkward performance, and you know what? She's also got a pretty decent Nordic accent too. I'm not going to attempt a Nordic accent here because the callers will be ringing in. Someone. Anyway, again, like The Lesson, this is a very low-key movie which observes the growing friendship between these two individuals who find themselves at a rut and a crossroads in their lives. Do you need to see it in the cinema, or is it a home watch for you at some time in the future? Again, like The Lesson, because this is the way these movies are these days, these small, low-key movies, I would highly recommend you catch it at some point. So whether it's in the cinema or later on streaming, that's Ballywalter, which is definitely worth a watch. There's a few limited release things I should flag, I suppose. The Talking Head Stop Making Sense 4K restoration, updated, whatever the hell it is. That's obviously in cinemas this weekend. And Flora and Son, the new John Carney musical, is again in limited release, but we'll talk about that next week because it drops on Apple TV Plus. But just in case you needed to know, it's some musical options out there for you this weekend. And that is your cinema. Not bad, pretty decent stuff, some pretty rubbish stuff, and yeah, there you go. Music wise, this week's releases are all about last night's gig at the Tree Arena. Woo-hoo! The National's surprise 10th album, Laugh Track, was dropped last Monday and is billed as the second half of their previous album, which was also released this year, the first two pages of Frankenstein. And the Laugh Track, it's a doozy. It's a cracker. So that is fab, fab stuff. But the other release, and the one I want to highlight, they were the support at the Tree Arena gig. And all I'll say is, it's karaoke time.
I don't have to.
Yes, the wonderful soccer mommy who supported The National and is absolutely fantastic, kind of scuzzy indie rock. Is that the way to describe? I have no idea how you describe her, but she's unbelievable. She's releasing her Karaoke Night EP, which features covers of songs like, as you just heard, Sheryl Crow, Taylor Swift, R.E.M., Pavement, and Slow Dive. Love her very much. Have a listen. Give her now a whirl, because she's class. That's Soccer Mommy and her Karaoke Night EP. And that there is your music, and that's everything. Let's quickly move on, and let's get into three things we noticed in pop culture this week. First up, what can I say? Just as I start getting engaged with and comfortable with a show and its characters, HBO go and kill it off in the coldest way possible. What a death blow. Winning Time, which was the story of the LA Lakers dynasty, is no more after it was cut after two seasons. What, you feckers? The cut was so sudden that most people in the US only copped it as season 2 finale aired and was followed by one of those absolutely horrible montages of what people from the series went on to do with their lives over the next decade. You're like, I thought this was about that. And within the hour, the cancellation was confirmed by HBO. Oh, Lord, oh, Lord. Was it the strike and the lack of star promotion that led to the poor viewing figures? Or was it the slight change of pace and storyline from season 1 that turned folks and HBO off? Who knows? But sadly, RIP, LA and Winning Time. Mm-hmm. In more positive news for any Tay-Tay fans out there, let's talk about that Eras Tour movie that is opening only in the US on October 13th. Well, Ireland, UK, Europe fans, hold your breath, because some Ninja Detective Swifty kids on TikTok spotted and captured for a brief moment that Cineworld UK had put up timings and screen times for the concert movie on October 13th. Before obviously quickly shutting that shit down, but alas, not quick enough. So we may be getting it. It then becomes, do you want to see it before the tour actually comes here, assuming you have tickets? Well, due to the fact that, I don't know about your Insta, it's been filled with the gig from every sort of angle. So hell yeah, sign me up for IMAX. And also, if you didn't get tickets for the gig, this is a must. Whether it does get released or not, everybody calm down. I'm sure they'll announce it if it is happening in the next few weeks, because obviously October 13th. Is not very far away, but fingers crossed that the end of the summer won't be cruel to us and that cinemas who need a win at the box office for the autumn will get what they want. And finally, what do we got? Oh yeah, rumours are flying around this week about Quentin Tarantino's 10th and final movie, The Movie Critic. All we know so far is that it's set in 1977 Los Angeles and is about a movie critic. Los Angeles and the 70s and 80s, lads, have you not been listening to the pod? It's not a good look. It looks like Tarantino may be getting the band back together for one last hurrah, as this week the rumour mill is going around that John Travolta and Samuel Jackson's names were suddenly being mentioned in the casting conversation. One last dance for his old crew. Also mentioned was Paul Walter Hauser from Richard Jewell and I, Tonya, as possibly the lead. When we actually get to see or hear any more developments for this one will obviously depend on the strike news, which had some positive vibes this week. Literally, as I speak, it's happening because the studios and the Writers Guild seem to be chatting and being very positive on the in the Twitter sphere or X sphere, whatever the hell the sphere is called. So we may finally be getting a silver lining, but we'll have to wait and see. Next week I'll probably tell you it's all gone to shit again. Anyways, there you go. Job done. Nonsense talked. Content revealed. This is David O'Callaghan for the Here and Back Again podcast, wishing you all the best. And until next week, stay safe and binge happy. Well, bonjour. Welcome, post-credit traveler. Welcome yet again to the Thunderdome, where, not gonna lie, anything can happen. Like, we're talking some absolute nonsense will be talked. And this week, all this yap of 80s action heroes has got me nostalgic and thinking about a misty and foggy past when Rambo First Blood Part 2 was released here in Ireland in 1985. Cert-wise, I think it was a 15s, possibly an 18s. I'm fairly confident it was a 15s. So poor, innocent, little old me wasn't old enough to see it in cinemas. Because they were weirdly quite strict in those days about age restrictions, despite allowing folks to actually smoke in the cinema, even at kids' movies. Such a weird time. Such a weird time. Anyways, having been raised on a diet of X-rated horror movies in Inchicore and having access to my white van VHS man and his dodgy collection of extremely violent action movies, I was all in for Rambo First Blood Part 2 on the big screen. I mean, folks were losing their minds with excitement for this one. You don't understand how excited people were. The first movie was immense. Me personally, I'd watched it about 10 times already, so I was not going to be defeated. So myself and my nerd crew decided to go to the Green Cinema on St. Stephen's Green. We saw this as our best chance of sneaking into this little cracker. And our plan? Yes, it was obviously to buy 4 tickets for Brewster's Millions, which started at a similar time, and then the old switcheroo and sneakeroo would begin as we went in one by one into Rambo 2. What a glorious plan it was. And needless to say, we got feckin' busted every time. I mean, these guys were dedicated to keeping us kids out of the movie. Such was the demand. Hell, we were 14 years old. For feck's sake, we were only 1 year out from being old enough. But it was tough love, baby. It's tough love. I do believe in the space of a week we saw Brewster's Millions 3 or 4 times. And what's funny is every time we got caught, they didn't kick us out. They just brought us back to Brewster. Ah, yes. No wonder I love Brewster's Millions so much. A great movie. But sadly, we never got to see Rambo on the big screen. Oh, smallest violin in the world. As for the Green Cinema, or St. Stephen's Green Cinema, it closed in 1987, so not long after, and became Planet Hollywood. Oh, what a time. I now think it's TGI Fridays. A sad loss. And no, we didn't hold it against them, because we continued to go back there until they closed. As for Rambo 2, did we ever see it? I know you're asking these questions. You know we did. Our knight in shining white armour on 4 wheels arrived about 6 months later with the Holy Grail for us to watch at home. And you know what? It wasn't that great. It was a bit average, actually. And we just went back and rewatched the first one for an 11th time. As for Brewster's Millions, well, that there is the winner in this story. I still watch it every few years. Richard Pryor is absolutely amazing. John Candy is a hoot. Who knew? It's like the cinematic gods were telling us, you got it right all along, and chose the correct screen. Anyways, those are my hazy, foggy memories of Sly Stallone and Rambo 2. And who knows, this weekend, maybe they'll kick me out of Expendables 4 for my own good. Let's see what happens. Arrivederci.